Good morning to you all. Welcome from me as well. It's a lovely morning, the sun's shining. It certainly wasn't earlier on. And this morning I have the privilege of sharing the Word of God with you, and it's not a privilege that I take lightly. And I do approach it with a bit of what they call fear and trepidation, as I should. But so bear with me as I go along. The last week, Emma mentioned the fact that we have a unique church here. And yes, we do have a unique church here because the truth is preached here. But one thing we need to understand, and the Lord has shown me very clearly over the last month, 2 months, that we are not alone. And you know, much like Elijah when he ran from Jezebel after he'd done quite a lot for the Lord, he went and hid. And he said, woe is me, you know, I'm the only one left. And the Lord said, no, I've got a lot of other people. And last week, week before, I think it was, Andrew went on to an online conference that was, it's designed for pastors and leadership. And he came away, and I think he was really encouraged, because what he found there was a lot of other men who had the same desire as him, and the same standard he has for the truth. And what he realized, I think, and what I've been realizing, basically, we are not alone. But there are many who are not in the same place as us. And we need to understand that we need to be careful with what we hear and who we listen to. And so for this morning, I say that with me speaking. So very simply, we are in a place now where I believe the Lord is doing something new. And when I say something new, Jeanette mentioned some weeks ago about this, a canvas, a painting canvas that's blank, where the Lord is wanting to paint a new picture for all of us. And when I say a new work, I do believe that maybe what we've learned in the past, including myself, is not going to be what the Lord is going to make happen. And we need to be in the place of being available to His plan and His purpose. We can't rely on our past experiences, our past knowledge, or where we've been, but we need to begin to rely totally on the Holy Spirit. We need to be in a place where we are reliant on what God wants from us. You know, Andrew was sharing last week about the fire, the refiner's fire. And quite honestly, I believe that in my own life, the Lord is speaking to me. Please, when I share this morning, I'm sharing. I hesitate to use the word preaching in that sense of the word. But it's a sharing, because it's what the Lord is speaking to me about, and I wanted to share that, because I believe it's a thread that is common to all of us. And very simply, Andrew was talking about the fire, the refiner's fire. And for me, I believe there's a lot in me, I hesitate to say you, that the Lord needs to remove. He needs to take away from us in order for us to serve Him as He would want us to. Not how we think we need to serve Him, but how He thinks we should serve Him. And so we need to be available to Him. We need to be in a place where we are prepared to do it His way, to be pleasing to Him, to carry out His purpose and plan His way. Now, for me, I don't know about you, but you've got this experience behind you, think, well, this is the way it should happen. And that's not always the case. I've had the privilege of coming here from another church. And yes, do you work differently here? Yes. But are the foundations the same? Yes. Is the truth preached here? Yes. So after that, really, if the doctrines are clear and what is preached is the truth from the Scripture, the rest actually is something we shouldn't really worry about too much. So from my side, I want to encourage you to be available for what the Lord wants. And one of the things we need to understand, and I just want to run through a few things, if you bear with me. Very simply, we are chosen. Each and every one of you here is not here by mistake. The Lord doesn't make mistakes in that regard. So if you're here this morning, it's because the Lord has brought you here. The Lord has chosen you. He has said, you are mine. And from that side, we need to understand that right from the beginning, He chose us. And I'd just like to read a few scriptures. If I could read to you from Romans 5, verses 6 to 10. If anybody wishes to follow. Because The Lord knew exactly who we were before he called us. Now, when I look at my own life, I must admit there are times when I shudder to think that he actually knows exactly who I am inside here. And that actually, in some respects, should scare you. But the fact is, the Lord saw that and said, I still want you. Shows me something about his love, about the grace that he's prepared to give us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the fact is that he was prepared to die when he saw who you were. I mean, we look at Paul, for example. Paul was a murderer. I mean, he was killing God's people. But the Lord saw in him a heart that could be used, a heart that was willing to be obedient to him, and he called it. And for each and every one of you, I cannot speak for your past and where you've been, but I know mine. And I certainly would not choose him. Not to serve him, to do anything for him at all, because I know what my life is like. But I've known God's grace now, I know his love, and I know that I desire to serve him. And I think that for all of us, that is the prime consideration we should have. And that is, are we prepared to let the Lord change us to become a vessel that is honorable, a vessel that can serve him? And that is what we should all aim for. It doesn't matter what your sins and your mistakes and everything else may be. It's the attitude of heart that the Lord is looking for. So if I just want to read here, Romans 5 verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? And very simply, you know, we can look at Romans 8 as well. Romans 8:30. Very simply, the Lord has called us and he has saved us himself. Nothing to do with it. By grace we have been saved. And what I want to know is that why? What does he want me to do? And very simply, for many of us, he calls us. What do we do? We seek him. You know, when people say, what is my place and what should I do? The first thing we need to do is to seek him, to find out what it is that he has for us. And we can't find that out if we don't actually spend time seeking him. So, you know, the Proverbs, I can't remember, it says there's a Proverbs. Let me see if I can find that for you. Proverbs 22 verse 13. Andrew quoted it some weeks ago about, I can't go outside because there's a lion out there. The excuses that we make for not actually seeking the Lord, for not reading, for spending time, for meditating. I'm speaking all to mature people here this morning, so I'm not, you will understand, I'm sure. But it's just a reminder that we need to be careful that we're not spiritually lazy. And I'll say that straight, because there are times when I am spiritually lazy, thinking, well, no, I'd rather watch Netflix or, no, I didn't say that. But you know, you understand what I'm saying. It's very simply, we can be waylaid by saying, well, no, I'll do it tomorrow or next day. But, you know, the Lord desires that we seek him. You know, and once we seek him, when we call out to him, he will answer. And as I said, very simply, if we look at Ephesians 2, it's probably one of my favorite letters. And that is Ephesians 2. I just would like to read Ephesians 2 in terms of who we are and where we belong. I'm leading up to something. Please bear with me, hopefully. In Ephesians 2, verse 4, he says here, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, from the scripture, very simply, we've already been lifted up to sit with the Lord. I mean, that's quite a heady image for me, is that we've already been raised up and allowed to sit with the Lord in the heavens, in the heavenly places. You know, when you look at that, I still have difficulty grasping it, but that is, when Paul writes to Ephesians, says, you need to understand who you really are. And very simply, he set us free. There's no condemnation. Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, very simply, we are called, we are chosen, and we are free. There is no condemnation. We are free in the Spirit. We don't have to answer to the penalty of death because we've been set free. We no longer are under a sentence of death. We've been lifted out from that. Jesus himself has given himself for us to be free. And we need to understand that freedom comes with no condemnation. And we need to understand that when we get that voice, sometimes when you do things wrong, you get that voice in the background saying, yeah, you call yourself a Christian, you know. But we need to understand that there's a place of repentance, a place of forgiveness where the Lord can set us free again. You know, in Acts 2, you know, when Peter was preaching and everybody said, you know, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized. Quite often, we forget that repentance is not a one-off. Repentance is an ongoing situation where we need, if necessary, every day, several times a day, we need to repent. I'm not saying you all need to do that, please. Don't misunderstand. I certainly do. There are times when I wake up in the morning and the first two, you get a bit of a grump, somebody sends you a text and you've got a lip before you even start. You know, so straight away you go say, Lord, please forgive me because I need to repent. I don't want to be like this. Do we have problem in traffic? I've got a friend of mine who I've worked with for many years. He's a good Christian man, but let me tell you what, get him in traffic and I do the praying. I can assure you, I do lots of praying because he still has a real problem with road rage. And he's such a nice guy, but you know, you get him in traffic and there's some other person sitting next to you thinking, now hold on, who's this guy? Lord, what have you done with my friend? And we have to deal with these. We need to put them before the Lord and say, Lord, this is a problem in my life. Please deal with me. And you know, very simply, that if the Lord has chosen, we are called to serve him. We are called to serve him in spirit, and we're called to serve him in truth. And very simply, we need to acknowledge who we are and what the Lord can do for us. And you know, one of the things is that I wanted to point out, by the way, that there has been no mistake in the Lord calling us. So I want to read to you from let me have a look. Romans 8:37. There's lots of Romans 8 when it comes to my sharing this morning. Romans 8:37. If I can just read it for you. In that, when we face all these issues, when Paul's writing to the Romans, yet in all these things, and he's talking about the trials and tribulations of a Christian and the walk we have, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a living hope. It's not something that's going to happen, it's already happened. We have been set free. And you know, one of the things that's interesting is that we are called to serve him. We are called to be in a place where he can use us. And very simply, we need to understand that no matter what we do, no matter what happens, we cannot be separated from the love of God. So each one of you here is signed and sealed. You have, Paul speaks about that you have been sealed in the Holy Spirit. And we've got his stamp on us. It's like, you know, if you turn over, you've got a big tattoo on your back that says, I belong to Jesus. You know, I don't go there, but you know, what I'm saying is you can visualize the, you can visualize what I mean by that. But that's really, we need to understand that we have a spiritual stamp on our lives. And very simply, one of the things that I've come to understand that we need to have, in terms of serving the Lord, we need to have the same attitude that Jesus had. You know, there's a lot of characteristics or characters of Jesus that we can talk about, and we realize that there's so many of them. You think about all the fruits, all the graces, all the characteristics that you would want in your own life. You know, for all the ways, are just compassionate, diligent, obedient, devoted, loving, graceful, faithful. I mean, we can keep going for a long, long way, because Jesus had these attributes that we all desire to have. And I'm not talking about following men or women who go before you, because if you follow a man or woman somewhere along the line, you will come unstuck. You will be disappointed. You will be let down. You will find them unfaithful, because we're all human and we are designed like that. We have what we call the flesh. When I refer to the flesh, Paul refers to the flesh as well. The flesh is what we call the carnal man. And quite often, when we talk about the flesh, we don't actually need the devil to do anything, because the flesh itself is very strong. When I speak about the flesh, I hope you're following me here. It's the carnal man. We're made up of the three entities, the spirit, soul, and body. The soul is the base of our intellect, our emotions, our will. And that is the battle. The battle is between the spirit and the flesh. It always has been and always will be. And quite often we don't need the devil to get involved, because the flesh will actually do it for us. We have these emotions. We have our will. And quite honestly, when it comes to the will, that is where our problem is. And so this morning, what I really want to do is to share a little bit about one of the characteristics of Jesus that I believe the Lord is putting on my heart to seek, to work at, to do whatever is necessary, to pray, to meditate, to seek Him. Very simply, for the characteristic of obedience. Now, I believe that the Lord is wanting us to do a new thing. And He's wanting to build His church. And I'm not talking about just us here, but His church, His body, His way. And very simply, He's wanting us to do it in a way that pleases Him. So we have to be prepared to allow Him to work in us. And I'm not talking about the physical side. I'm talking about within your soul, within your spirit. There's going to be a war. I don't know if there is one already, but there's certainly always been one in mine. And that's the spirit versus the soul. It's the spirit versus the flesh. Because our flesh is very strong, and it really does like to do what it wants to do. And that has still been one of my problems, and I know the Lord is working at me in some of them. And I have a reminder that lives with me. Never mind. But anyway, so for all of us, if we have a wife or a husband, it's the first place we start when it comes to actually getting your heart right, because that's where it all starts. Anyway, so one of the things that we have to look at is, if we want to transmit something, if we want to transmit our love, if we want to transmit grace, if we want to transmit mercy, guess what? You've got to have it to transmit it. And one of the biggest failings of my own life, going back in time, was trying to transmit something that I don't have. And whether you like it or not, we're talking about the spirit now. So it doesn't matter what you hear, it's what you hear here. So you can say what you want, but if you haven't got any need to transmit to begin with, you're probably wasting your time. And I say that with genuine humility, because I know that in the past I've gone out and you spout. Not a good word, I suppose, but you're inclined to just speak. But if it's not in you, you can't transmit it. So for me, I know the Lord is speaking to me very clearly about obedience. And He wants us to be conformed to Jesus. And for me, that's a particular area that He's talking about for me right now. And very simply, we have to understand that a lot of our actions, our reactions, our responses that we have in life come from our attitude. And whether you like it or not, it's just what happens, because there are still times I get caught in a bad situation. There's still the odd word. They're not that serious, but they're still not pleasing to God. Well, it'll be there. And you think, where did that come from? And very simply, it's what's still inside you. And so your actions always go in line with your attitude. And so the Lord has asked me that I need to be changing my attitude. And the attitude that He wants from me is for me to remove the pride from my life. Now, pride is a sneaky thing, because you think I don't have pride. But I'll guarantee you that the Lord will put each and every one of us here in a place where we'll see our pride if we ask Him. Because pride is I think, what's the word? Insidious. How's that for a word for this time of the morning? But very simply, pride is something that sneaks in and we don't even see it ourselves. But very simply, it's about the will. So I just want to start. I just want to read. We're in Romans. If we go to Romans 8, verse 29, and I'll read from 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So we understand that there's, for example, a sequence. But we can't have the glory without the other. There's an old saying, it's quite an old saying, that everybody wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to die. And it's very simple that it comes to the Spirit, the same thing applies. Everybody wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to die. And we are called to have the same attitude as Jesus, who through his suffering, through his death, and through his resurrection, was raised to glory. Because of his humility, the Lord placed him at his right hand and said, "It's all yours." And very simply, we are called to go the same route. So we need to have a heart of humility. And for me, it's very simple. There's sometimes, you know, we have an attitude where the Lord says, "I want you to do this." And we look at it and say, "You know, I'm sure I can do that better. I can do it my way." You understand what I'm saying? Because we think, no, that's far too simple, or no, that's not good enough. And if we've got, depending on our backgrounds and things like that, that's not the way we do things. But the Lord says, "I want it this way." We say, "No, I've got a better plan. No, I can do it my way." It's amazing that I know that when it comes to things in the Spirit, I cannot trust myself. I cannot. But yet, in that situation, I will still trust myself. You understand what I'm saying? It's pride that takes you there. And we can put ourselves in some really bad places because of our pride. And I want to personally come to the place where my pride is submitted to the Lord, where I am humbled before him. And really, very simply, I just want to read to you from where are we? Luke 22:42. Where am I? I hope I got this right. And very simply, Jesus, by his obedience, pleased the Father. And in Luke 22:42, he says here, he said, it's when he was faced with the cross, when he was praying. Wow, that's good. That stopped. "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And very simply, Jesus died for us in obedience to his Father's request. He had the choice. And the other scripture that we can have a look at, John 5:19, if I could just go there first. John 5, where are we? John 5:19. Very simply, he says, "Jesus answered them and said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son of Man could do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner.'" And basically, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." And very simply, the Lord never did anything of himself. It was always what his Father asked him. And we're in the place now where we have the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. And we have that Holy Spirit that prompts us. And it very simply says in John that we could do nothing of ourselves. Jesus himself said, "I could do nothing of myself." And we need to be in the same place of understanding we can do nothing of ourselves. Because if we try to do it of ourselves, it will crash and burn. You know, very simply, when the Sanhedrin was meeting about Jesus, about Paul, and they were trying them. I think it's Paul and Peter. I'm not too sure which one it was, but very simply, the head of the Sanhedrin said, "Leave it alone, because if it is of God, nothing we can do will stop it. But it's of man, it will fade away." And very simply, we are following a Lord who has not faded away, who for me is getting stronger in my life as I seek Him. As I allow Him to work in me, He's becoming stronger. And we're not talking about something recent. The Lord has stood, the Lord, listen to me, Christianity, Lord Jesus, has stood the test of time. There are men and women who've gone before us who have proved that. So we need to be in a place saying, I want to be in the same place. And you know, one of the things is Jesus chose to lay down His life. It was His choice. He had the choice to do it. Can you imagine if He hadn't? If He said, no, I've got other things I want to do. Yeah, sorry, Lord, look, maybe next week, but certainly not this week. Can you imagine that attitude? And sad to say that I have that attitude sometimes where I'm inclined to say, well, yeah, maybe, Lord, maybe tomorrow. You know, I've got a dinner on tonight, and, you know, it's quite important. My stomach comes first. Sorry, no, I'm just sorry. But, you know, one of the things that's very interesting, we were talking earlier on, and that person shall remain nameless. Hey, but anyway, what happened was, we were talking about opinions, and let's see, I can pick on you, I know you're so funny. Very simply, the Lord doesn't ask us to have opinions. He asks us to base our faith on the Word of God. And one of the things that's interesting is that Jesus never really worried about what people thought about Him. Now, we can have opinions, we can have truth, and we don't necessarily worry about what people think of us. But a lot of us, whether we like it, are very aware of what people think of us. So for me this morning, I can be aware and I can be, oh dear, maybe I shouldn't say that, Lord, because of what people will think. I can't do that. I've got to share what's on my heart and what's in the Scripture. So it's not an opinion that I'm going to share. It's the truth. And Jesus Himself was never concerned about what other people thought about Him. He's only concerned for what the Father thought. What was pleasing to the Lord. What was pleasing to His Father. And we should be exactly the same attitude, where we need to be saying, Lord, Your will, not mine. And we need to be doing things that are pleasing to Him, not to ourselves. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about is the fact that truth upsets people. I don't know if you've noticed that, but the truth does upset people. And quite often people can have opinions and believe certain things, but it doesn't mean to say that they are true. And whenever anybody speaks, I do ask that you have a look. If it's not in the Scripture, please talk to me. And for that, I'm grateful, because we need to be open. We need to be in a place of saying, Lord, show me. Show me what You want from me. And so one of the things that the Lord does is ask us to submit to His will. Now, submission, I don't know about you guys, but submission for me is actually quite difficult sometimes. Because the Lord asks you to do something that does not fit into your daily life or your understanding. And you've got to sit there and say, Lord, is this really from You? And you could put out your fleece or not, but it doesn't matter. The fact is, many people turn around and say, no, not today. And so we need to be very, very careful that we don't come up with our own plans to sort out what the Lord wants of us. And one thing that the Lord does do, and that He's wanting us to serve Him, there's things in our lives that are not pleasing to Him. And He's going to want to prune us. Now, pruning, I don't know about you, but I have this beautiful rose, climbing rose. And if you want beautiful flowers next season, I've got to prune it. But it has got to be the thorniest, most wicked piece of rose tree I have ever come across. And I've put it off, because it's climbing all over the place. But I've had to deal with it. And for a fact, you know, before you start, you're going to be bleeding by the time you finish. It's as simple as that. There's no ways that this thing will let you go without putting some holes in you. And when you start to leak a bit and the things are hurting, you sit there and say, this is just what the Lord does. And whether we like it or not, if we're prepared to serve the Lord, if we're prepared to let Him work in our hearts, we are going to suffer. You know, it says that we are called to suffer. If I just want to read, where am I? Romans 12, 1 and 2. You guys can probably quote it. Bernie's looking at me, nodding his head. Yeah. Romans 1 and 2. And it's very simply that I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Lord asks us to be transformed. And we're not going to be transformed by ourselves. You know, I read a really good quote from C.S. Lewis, who said, let me get it right first of all. I'm sure I've got it here somewhere. I can't remember. It says, but a good man or woman will never know how truly bad they are until they try very, very hard to be good. Okay, let that sink in. I look back on my life, and many years ago, when I came to know the Lord, I spent some time with the Lord, and we were getting somewhere, and we were, yes, you know what I mean, getting all excited and enthusiastic about it all, and I decided that I needed to live this righteous life of Christ. So I gave up drinking, smoking, the righteous life, but in my own strength. And you know how long that lasted? 3 years. Then it was gone, like it had never been. And very simply, you come to understand that you can do nothing of yourself. It has got to come from the Holy Spirit. And we've got to rely on the Holy Spirit to give us it is what we need. And one of the things that I wanted to speak about very briefly is that as Christians, and it's a word that's not often used in church anymore, you are called to suffer with Christ. You are called to suffer for Christ. Okay, in silence. Okay, but you understand what I'm saying by suffering. When I say suffer, sometimes we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in the suffering of the body in that respect. You know, where you are, you know, you're sick and things like that. I'm talking about one of the real problems and the greatest suffering that we can honestly experience comes from within. And that suffering comes from the battle between the spirit and the flesh. Because the flesh is strong. We've grown up with it. We pamper it. You know, no man, it tells you when Paul is speaking about husbands and wives. It says, husbands, love your wife as your own body. Because for no man ever neglected his own body. Trust me, when it comes to looking after yourself, we're incredibly selfish. And that's what the Lord says. Take that selfishness and change it so that it gets pointed at your wife. And that is something very difficult. I don't know about you guys, when you have an argument with your wife, how difficult it is to say, my darling, I'm sorry, forgive me, I'm wrong. Just thought I'd find it easy to agree. It's painful. But in all seriousness, when we think we're right, and most of the time we are right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But I'm going to turn around and I know that she's wrong. But in here I'm saying, no, but I was right. And the Lord's saying, ask her forgiveness. To go to your wife, because that's who's closest to you, who knows you, and say, my love, forgive me, please. I was wrong. You know, as people, we're inclined to, the Lord puts that on our heart to ask forgiveness. But as people, we'll find every other way of getting around it. Buy her some flowers and some chocolates, but not say anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, she knows my heart. Yeah, she knows what I'm like. No. The Lord is wanting us to be clean. I'm not talking about just my wife. She's laughing at me. She's like, I'm not talking about just my wife. I'm talking about other people. I mean, if you can't do that with your wife, how are you going to do it with somebody else? You know, and really, the Lord is calling us to come to a place where we walk righteously, where we walk in that place with clean hands and a pure heart. And there's only one way you can do that, and that is by going and saying, Lord, forgive me, first of all. Ask the Lord for forgiveness, and then if necessary, most of the time it is, to go to that person and say, forgive me, please. And you know, we will find every other way around it. We will duck and dive. And seriously, that is the greatest suffering, is when we have that argument between the spirit and the flesh. And very simply, we need to come to the place of asking the Lord to take that out of us. Because the obedience means I've got to put my will aside. What I want, what I think, what I desire has got to be put to one side to accept the will of the Lord. You know, Andrew was talking about the fire that comes into us. We know, to have that fire, we've got to ask for it. The Lord will do nothing without us asking. The Lord will not put any pressure on us if we say no. He won't. Because he's given us free will. It's for us to say, Lord, I want this fire. Because we need this fire to burn out those things that the Lord doesn't want from us. And you know, the Lord is wanting us to be in a place where he can use us. And if we're carrying unforgiveness, we're carrying sins, unrepentant sins in your life, and I'm not talking about big sins. I'm talking about little sins. And there's a little sins that, you know, maybe 20 years ago, some things didn't bother me as much, but now we're walking a narrow road. We're coming to a place where in Luke and in Matthew, basically, the Lord says, pick up your cross and follow me daily. Those of you who would lose your life will gain it. Those of you who want to keep your life will lose it. Very simply, the Lord is clear in what he's actually asking of us, and that is we need to submit ourselves to him. And we need to pick up our cross, and we need to follow him. If we want to be disciples of the Lord, not just believers, lots of people believe, as the Lord says, even the demons believe and shudder. But we ourselves need to be disciples. We need to be true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just for myself or Andrew to preach or with the Bible studies, but it's the responsibility of each and every one of us to spend that time to read, to pray, to meditate. You know, Jesus did a lot of that. You know, often, you see, he went up to the mountain to pray because he needed that input from the Father. He needed the Holy Spirit. He needed that to face what he had to face. You know, it said that on that scripture that I read just now, when Jesus prays, saying, Father, if this cup, please take this cup from me. If it be your will, I'll keep it. I will do what you need. Just after that, it said, an angel appeared and strengthened him. And the same thing occurs to us when we say, Holy Spirit, please, when we come to a place of submitting, the Holy Spirit strengthens us. This grace comes from the Lord, and we're in a place now we can do what it is that he wants. And so we are called to identify with Jesus in his suffering, his death and resurrection, and the glory. And there's a lot of scripture. I'll just, let me have a read here. Romans 5 verse 3, if I can ask you to go there. And it just reads here, and it's something I must admit, it still troubles me. It says, and not only that, let me start from verse 1, chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And very simply, we're talking about a situation where if we want to share in Christ's glory, Scripture is clear, we need to go through the suffering, the death, and the resurrection with him. We need to identify with what Christ has done for us. And you know, as I said, you can't have the one without the other. And there's nothing that the Lord says, you must do this. But the Lord is calling us because he wants to use us. And the greatest suffering, as I said, is from within. And we need to be careful that we don't lose heart. Because what the Lord puts before us, if you understand all that, what I've been sharing this morning, you can come to the place of going, well, I can't do this. I'm not capable of doing this. Well, you're not. And one of the things that we need to understand is that The Lord knows that you can't do it by yourself. In fact, he's totally aware that you can't do it by yourself. The only people who aren't aware that we can't do it by ourselves are ourselves. And we still desire, in our pride, to do it ourselves. And very simply, the Lord came to remove the law. And we are free. The Lord has set us free. And very simply, we need to understand that by... I keep saying very simply, far too often, but I've been aware of it myself. And really, we need to understand that we cannot do myself. I cannot do myself. And the Lord wants us to allow Him, the Holy Spirit, to do it for us. And quite often I have a look. Sorry, I just want to read. Let me read Galatians 5:18. How am I doing? Okay. Galatians 5:18. Right, Galatians 5:18. It says very simply, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. And he goes through the whole list. But then in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. And we see the corresponding things. And to me, that's the flesh and the Spirit. What is natural in the flesh is not natural in the Spirit. And we need to understand that the Lord has set us free. And it's the image I want to give you is like being in jail. And somebody comes along and opens the door and says, you're free. But you stay in your cell because you think, you know, we're part of this wildlife reserve down the road, and they have a bird called the bustard, which has been put into a separate paddock for the season because they can be quite aggressive. But now it's off season, they've opened the gate wide, and these are big gates. And you know, the bustards will come to the gate, they'll step out, they'll have a little bit of water, and back inside. Whereas in fact, outside is far better than inside. It is far more, there's different, terrain, there's different grasses, different plains, different everything, which suit them even more than the paddock they're in. But they'll step outside the gate, and there's no damp, there's no threat there at all. There's no animals, fully fenced. They'll step outside and go back inside. And that is what we are like when it comes to being free in Christ. We have been set free. The gate is open. We're allowed to go out. And really, to encourage you, John 14:26. If I can just read from John a bit. We are not alone. If I go to John 14, verse 26 to start with. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. We have the Holy Spirit. And in 14:23, if we go back to 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anybody loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. The Lord doesn't leave us alone. The Lord is there to strengthen us, to sort us, to help us sort out the issues that we have in our life when we submit to him. And we are not alone. And quite often, as I said, our problem is we want to do it alone. We want to do it ourselves. But the Lord is wanting each and every one of us to say, Lord, you're welcome. Are we prepared? My challenge to you this morning is very simply, are we prepared to allow the Holy Spirit to come into us and convict us? Are we prepared to say, Lord, I want to have the same character as yourself? I want to be obedient. I want to be submissive. The Lord was submissive to the point of dying because it was his Father's desire. He said, my will be put aside, your will be done. And I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us now that we need to be seeking him, his will for our lives. But the only problem is, we don't always want him to do that. So this morning I want to challenge you and say, the Lord, in Philippians 1:6, the Lord says he will complete the work that he has started. And if we understand that, the Lord is not going to leave us alone. If we go somewhere that the Lord is pushing us, the Lord will sustain us. The Lord will always strengthen us. The Lord's grace will be with us whenever we go there. So we need to be confident to know that the Lord will sustain us. He will give us the grace. He will give us the strength. But very simply, like a lot of things, until you actually step out and say, okay, Lord, I'm prepared to do it, nothing happens. Spurgeon many years ago had a man come to him and said, the problem with Christianity today is that not enough men prepared to be burned at the stake. And Spurgeon looked at him and said, you're wrong, my brother. For when the time comes, the grace will be there. Right now, you don't need that grace. And so often we think about all the bad things and the heavy things, the burning at the stake and things like that. But you know, that's not where we are. Right where we are, we don't need that grace. We need grace for other things for our life, to bring ourselves to the place where we are pleasing to the God. And you know, one thing that is on my heart and won't go away, so the Lord is speaking to me. We need to understand about repentance. Repentance is not something that's preached very often in churches. But repentance is something that is there for us, for building us, for restoring us, to repair relationships, to bring us to a place where we are in a place where the Lord can use us. You know, repentance is something that doesn't happen just once. In Acts 2, when Peter said, repent. Repentance is something that we need to allow the Lord to show us. Because the benefits of repentance, you know, I don't know if any of you have got things that maybe you've held, you remember from years ago. Those are the things, when they bring to, Lord, I repent, I don't want to be this anymore, forgive me. Do we have relationships with people where we don't talk to them anymore? I don't want to, but I'm having to deal with them. Where I've put people aside, I don't want to talk to them because there are things that are between us. And the Lord wants us to be clean hands and pure heart. And he's calling us to the place where we need to be, where he can work in us and use us for his plan, his purpose. And right now, he is wanting us to go. He's wanting us to go there. So for me this morning, I just want to encourage you. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow him to convict you. Allow him into your heart. Because if we don't allow him in, he won't do anything. And we will remain as we are. One of the things that I found in Bournemouth, where we were, we've been there a long time, we've become very comfortable, very happy with where we were. This is what we do, that's how the church works, that's how we all work. But you know what? It's not what the Lord wants. And in moving here, the Lord has shown me that we're not alone. There are other Christians, there are other churches, and the Lord's building them for his purpose and his plan. And I want to be part of that plan. You know, we all go along for the ride, but you know, I want to be part of it. I want to be where the Lord can use me for his service. So I challenge you this morning. Allow the Lord to work in your hearts. Allow him to show what you need to do. If you're honest with yourself, you can say, Lord, show me. And the Lord's faithful, and the Lord will show you. You may not like it, but you know, we're called to suffer for him. And that suffering is an eternal one. Flesh versus the spirit. So, amen. We just pray that the Lord will work in all of us. Amen. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the mercy that you show us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are here right now, that you move within each and every one of us, Lord. But Lord, that you've made your home in us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we'd allow you access. Lord, that we'd allow more of you and less of us. Lord, that we put ourselves aside to allow more of you for your will. Lord, that we're obedient to what it is that you desire of us, Lord. Show us, Lord. Help us, Lord. For we cannot do it ourselves. But Lord, you've given us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are there to strengthen us. Lord, you are there to show us the way, to lift us up, to teach us, to strengthen us. So Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us here today, that we'd allow you more access to change our lives, to change our hearts, to be a more fitting, honorable vessel for your service. So I thank you, Jesus, for today. Praise you, Lord, and we glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.